This show is recorded. Please do not call or text.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the prayer. It's that time we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. Those are the numbers to call or the ways to get your prayer request to us. So whatever that need may be, let us know. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so you never have to worry about that. We understand, you know, some things are personal, but you still need prayer for them. And God knows who you are. That's what matters. So don't let that hinder you or keep you from getting the prayer that you need. 419-389-0893 or prayer at yeshome.com. Lord, we do thank you that we have this opportunity to come before you. Lord, this opportunity to lift each other up and encourage one another in prayer, to know that you are a good, gracious, loving God who is ready to meet our every need. We can find hope and strength for each new day, that your mercies are new every morning. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We give you all glory because you are a mighty and awesome, awesome God, worthy of our praise. So we thank you. We exalt you. We lift you up this day and pray this in your name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893, or prayer at yeshome.com. And before we get into our prayer requests, we always like to get into the Word of God to give some spiritual nourishment to get our day started and to get our hearts ready and settled on prayer and ready for prayer. And we've been looking at the Genesis. We're kind of doing a survey of the book of Genesis. I say a survey because we're not going to go verse by verse, although we kind of have. We managed to get through the first verse. Well, the first two verses over our first 2 days. We're going to move a little quicker today. So we're not looking at it verse by verse. We're not stopping at everything to talk about in Genesis. But the reason I started this was because what I see in our culture, not just me, but lots of people have seen it, is that everything in Genesis is under assault. If you look at the first three chapters of Genesis, all the things that are going on in our culture today are under the assault, are really just a refutation, if you will. They're a refutation of God's order and design in Genesis. And God's order and design, specifically in the first three chapters of Genesis and what happened there. Yesterday, we talked about how the earth was formless and void. That apart from God's design and creation, that's what we get. We lose form. We lose purpose. It was formless and empty, and that's what we end up with when we reject God's design. We don't reject it for something better or even something different. We reject it for nothing. Formlessness and emptiness. And so we've been looking at Genesis, and we're specifically going to look just at certain parts of it where it's really under assault in our culture today. And so I want to skip in the acts of creation. Obviously, these are important. I'm not saying they're not. We're going to skip them ahead just thematically. So, work of creation, creates the light and separates the light from the day, separates the water from the land, creates the sun, the moon, the stars, creates the animals, first in the sea and the air, and then the animals on the land. And lastly, we get to God creating humanity. I want to look in at that. So we're going to pick it up in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock and over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So God begins with his decision to create humanity. To create humanity, and he begins, before he creates, he has a purpose. He doesn't say, let's create these human beings and see what they do. There's a specific design and purpose to humanity. So they have a design, if you will. They have a purpose that he sets out in verse 26. That is important for telling us who and what we are. First of all, he says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. This is essential to understanding the purpose of humanity. We are image bearers. We are image bearers. We think about that. What does it mean to create man in the image of God? This means that we are to reflect. An image is something that reflects or represents something. It is not the thing, but it represents and refers back to the thing. That's what an image does. So an image is separate from the represents, right? Meaning we are not God. He didn't make a bunch of little gods. Contrary to what some other religions think, we don't become God. We are not the thing. But we are made to refer back to the thing. So the image is designed to draw your mind back to what it represents. And so we reflect God. He created us in his image by putting in us characteristics and traits that God we share with God that are intended to refer us back to God. They represent him, right? The image represents the thing. It is not the thing, but it represents the thing. So that when we see that image, we know that's this person, right? So it's like a statue, in a sense. When we see a statue of a person, let's say, you know, they're always putting up statues of famous athletes and things like that, or famous politicians or what have you. So we see a statue of, you know, George Washington somewhere. We look at that statue and say, oh, that's George Washington. Right? Now we know it's not George Washington, right? We know George Washington is not the person, right? George Washington is passed. We have to go to his grave and dig up his bones or whatever. It's not George Washington, but that's who it intends us to mean. We look at it and say, oh, that's George Washington. Yep, George Washington, founder of our country, first president, right? And all the things about George Washington are then recalled to our mind. We are to serve the same kind of function as human beings. As God's imagers, created by him to be in his image, we, when people look at us, they should be referred back to God. They should say, oh, that's like God. And that's like, God is this, God is that. That is one of God's people, right? It refers the mind back to God. We direct a life properly lived as a human being is a life that when people look at it, their thoughts are directed to God. So I live in such a way that as people look at my life, their minds are directed to God. The greatest example of this, of course, is Jesus Christ, who was the image of the invisible, right? That's how Colossians talks about him. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. John talks about the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. No one has seen God, but we have seen the one and only, full of grace and truth. Jesus was the ultimate and perfect imager of God, right? Because he was the image of the invisible God. He was not only our Savior, not only did he come and die for our sins and make atonement for our sins, but he also came to show us this is what a human life lived in perfect harmony with God looks like. And it's a life that perfectly images God. So that there's no way to look at Jesus and not think of the Father. That's why Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am the perfect representation. Now, yes, Jesus was unique in his representation and image of God in ways that we are not, right? We understand that. He being God himself and God incarnate. But he gives us a picture of what it is for humanity to live in perfect harmony with God. So that his life perfectly reflected God, so that every time we look at Jesus, we got to think of the Father. We have to think of God. You can't separate it out. People tried to do this. You know, there's a lot of theologians out there who try to do. They talk about the human Jesus. Let's talk about the human Jesus. Well, that is in and of itself flawed because the human Jesus doesn't exist apart from his purpose of imaging God. You can't understand the human Jesus divorced from God. You've already failed in your quest to better understand Jesus. You've gained less understanding of him more, not more. Because at the very heart of who he is as a human being, and Jesus was fully human, so who he was as his fully human person was an imager of God. That's a very core in that he was. He was God in the flesh. And you don't separate out the two. You can't. It wasn't the human Jesus and the divine Jesus. He was both fully human and fully divine, married together in perfection. To show us and remind us this is what we are to be. That as human beings, we're to live our lives in such a way that our wills are in perfect harmony with the Father and with God, so that we too, when we live, we become imagers of God. In that people look at us and they immediately go back to the thing we represent. To God. So at our very heart, the very essence of who we are is meant to be imagers of God. Which means that the very essence of what our lives are to be about is to be about reflecting God. That people should see God in us. that we are to reflect the glory of God. We are to reflect the image of God. We are to draw people back, not to ourselves, right? Because we're just the image. We're not the thing, but rather to draw people's minds to the thing. Just like a statue of George Washington isn't George Washington, but it draws our minds to him to contemplate and think about George Washington. In the same way, we should live our lives that when people see us, it draws their minds to think and contemplate God. That's why we don't want our glory, we live for his glory, because that's what we're made to. Because our glory is all borrowed, right? It's all glory. It's God's glory that reflects and shines in us. He allows us, you know, to be reflectors and imagers of that glory, which is a great privilege and a great honor. But we can never forget it's not our glory. It's his. And that glory should always, at the end of the day, reflect back to God. That's who we are as imagers. It is who we are meant to be. But unfortunately, we've lost that, right? We've lost our purpose. We've lost, we don't know, you know, who we are or what we are. If we believe the world that we're just, you know, a result of blind evolutionary forces who just lucked upon a proper sequencing of DNA to create human beings, and we don't image anything. We're creatures of chance, here by happenstance, gone tomorrow, and of no real significance. And I think people are beginning to feel that, right? They're beginning to feel like, what's my significance? Why do I matter? What does it matter whether I'm here or not? You know, and the world's answer to that has been, well, we're here just to enjoy things. Just to have pleasure and enjoy stuff. And just enjoy it while you can. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And so we become totally focused on being attained and being, you know, pleased and pleasure. Finding is that stuff gets old fast, and it can't fulfill us, and it can't feed our souls, because it's not why we exist. We don't exist for that. You know, pleasure is a wonderful thing, and it's a fine thing. God created it. He wants us to enjoy this world and his creation, but we enjoy it best when we enjoy it in the proper context. And we can only understand that context when we begin to understand who we are, and who we are imagers of God, designed to live in a way that our lives reflect him. And our lives draw attention to him and remind people of him. And when we live in that way, and we begin to understand what true living is. And I have a request in from a listener asking for prayer for his brother Charles. And he did give us permission to use his name. Asking for his brother Charles. He's in the VA hospital on a ventilator on 70% oxygen. Suffered some lung damage, some kidney damage, and is praying for God's miraculous work for his He's been on that ventilator now for, looks like for about 12 days now that he's been on that. So praying for his healing, for God to do a miracle of healing for him. Lord, we do pray for Charles today. We lift him up before you as he has been on this ventilator now, 12 days. Lord, obviously critically ill. Lord, we pray for your healing hand. Now, we know that COVID has confounded much of medical science and human understanding. It does not confound you. And so, Lord, we pray for your healing hand to be upon Charles. We pray that you would repair that damage to his lungs, the damage to his kidneys. We pray that you would strengthen him in his body, open up those lungs to breathe. Lord, we pray that he would be able to come off the ventilator, that he would be strong, that he would be, Lord, restored to full and complete health, as only you can do by your miraculous power and might. Because we know that you are the great physician, you are the great healer. So we lift Charles into your care and pray this in your name, amen. And it looks like he also has, for his uncle, I think his name Charles, asking for prayer for him. He's been critically ill. Asking either, praying that the Lord will heal him to be here with us a few more years to continue his ministry. However, should the Lord heal Uncle Charles by taking him home, they're well with that as well. Lord, we pray for this listener's uncle as well, as he's nearing the end of his life, Lord. And we pray, whether you choose to grant him a few more years or whether it is time for him to enter into this rest that he has earned in his salvation. Lord, we pray that you would do right according to your will. And Lord, if you see fit to grant him a few more years for ministry, that Lord, we will praise you for that. But if it is his time, and Lord, we just thank you for the comfort of the gospel to know that his eternal destiny is secure in you. And Lord, that if that is indeed the case, that it is time for him to receive the reward of his salvation, then we pray that you would comfort him, the family, with that knowledge and that hope, the sure hope that they have in his eternal destiny in you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for the tuning into the Prayer Closet. Remember, if you have a prayer request throughout the day, you can call us at 419-389-0893. As always, folks here would be happy to pray with you. Or you can email or text your prayer request to us at any time at prayer@yeshome.com. There'll be folks here happy to pray with you, or we'll take those and pray for those on the closet. And then you can also go online to our website, home.com, click on the chat now button, get connected to a live online spiritual coach for a live online chat session. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. This has been the Prayer Closet. Thanks so much for tuning in. God bless everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.